everyone's having a good time, mingling, talking. Let's go ahead and get back to our seats. We are in for a treat real soon. But first I want to say this. Have you guys seen this amazing book that has been released? We are so excited about this book. This Teams is where it's at. And there is no other book out there that's like this book. So we want to give two of these books away. So who's athletic in this room? The first two people that come up to this stage and give me a high five. That was you and him. All right. Now. if you weren't able to run up here quick enough, we do have them for sale. They're in the front right there, so grab one on your way during a break or on the way out, and you'll be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to keep going, and it's my pleasure and my honor to introduce our guest speaker. Pastor Eric Butler is no guest here. He is a man of God that has come. He's left his church, Christian International, in Lincoln, New Jersey. And Pastor Eric has traveled all around the world. He frequents California. He told me last night, I love the Bay Area. I love what you guys are doing. He says, I love your pastor. And let me say this. We were in line at In-N-Out last night. You know, the out-of-towners love the In-N-Out, right? So right away. And what I learned about this man of God, we were just talking, and he is a father. We were talking about our kids, he was talking about his daughters. Not only is he a father in the natural, but he is a spiritual father. Would you join me in welcoming Pastor Eric Butler?
God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to be back. I'm not a first-time visitor. It's my second time here, and I've been with your pastor actually a couple times this year. We were together in Long Beach at a childhood friend of mine who has a church in Long Beach called Pastor David down, and we did some ministry and some work with him, and also at MFI a couple weeks back. So it's been a West Coast year for me. Amen. How's everybody doing today? You guys look real happy. It's cool. I like this. So I'm going to get started because I know I'm on a time clock. Years ago, and it was a movie that came out years ago in 1963 called The Great Escape. And it was a great movie. I mean, with Steve McQueen and a whole bunch of guys that were in it. And it dealt with the principle of how to escape from this German prison camp. Over 600 people were involved. It was 250 soldiers that they were trying to get out and trying to move. And during that time, everyone had to be in complete agreement with what was going on. And if you watch the movie, it's actually a masterpiece on teamwork and leadership. Because during that time, what you began to see was everyone had to work together in order for everything to come out right. And so you had cooks, you had thieves, you had tailors, you had carpenters all doing different things underneath. And they all had to collaborate and cooperate with each other. Now, what I wanted to say to you as I begin this today, because we're talking about team, is there's a difference between cooperation and collaboration. And cooperation is when we're working together agreeably. And a lot of people will do that. They'll, you know, kumbaya it, so to speak, and they'll hang in there and they'll just do it. I'm just doing it just to get along, keep peace. Okay, everybody sits down, everybody does this. You learn how to do that in second grade. Everybody just cooperates. It's a big thing. And they have to do that. But collaboration is working together aggressively. Collaboration is working together aggressively. And it means this, that there has to be a lot of different things that take place for a collaboration. What God is doing in this day and hour is bringing a collaborative effort to the body of Christ so that churches, leaders, movements, networks will start to collaborate together. I think over the years that there's been a great cooperation with different groups and different teams. You see all the teams and networks coming up in this age we live in. But there has to be a collaboration to get the job done, because the body is one. It's a whole body. Amen? So there's four things that need to take place to become a collaborative type of player. Number one, you may not have this on the screen because I didn't give this to Carrie. But number one, just write the word perception, 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 okay? You need to see teammates differently. You need to see them as collaborators, not competitors. Not competitors. Two, attitude. As a team player, you need to be supportive, not suspicious of teammates. If you trust others, you'll treat them differently. You'll treat them better. So I'll give it to you again, the attitude that we have as a team player, to be supportive, not suspicious. This is key. I could talk to you all day about this stuff. When you see leaders, especially the big shots, the big boys, so to speak, they're the ones that struggle with this. You know, when you go to different regions, and I'm from the East Coast and from New Jersey and New York area, you see the spirit, whatever spirits many times, a spirit is that's over a region, it sometimes slides its way into the influencing of the church. And the New York area is just totally dominated by a competitive spirit. Dog eat dog, rude, step on toes to get where you're going. And that mindset sometimes has affected the body of Christ in our region, whereby churches don't fellowship together, leaders don't come together, and all these different things. And there's an attitude that has developed. Number three, focus. Focus. Number three, focus. A collaborative team of team player or team player concentrates on the team. So when we're in a collaborative mindset, we focus, we concentrate on the team, okay, not on ourselves. It's all about the team. It's all about the team. And that's what I like when you see certain players. I mean, I'm a Warriors fan. Can I get an amen? I'm the only guy on the East Coast that likes the Warriors. I was a Knicks fan. I will be once we get Durant. We steal Durant from you. But anyway, let me go on with the message. Let me go on. Because he's coming to the East. You know that. Okay. Yeah. Focus, focus, focus. Okay, but I love their concept. And one of the reasons why I started watching them way back when they had Mark Jackson, a little scrappy team, actually what made me watch them, one day they were having a game, and they kind of showed them in the locker room. Mark Jackson was giving them a pep talk. But he said, now bring it in, and they started praying. And I said, look at this team. They're praying like we're in church. Father God, will you help us to win tonight? I said, all of these guys are believers. And I later found out that many of them are. But they took a mindset, strength in numbers. You see that. You're Bay Area Kings now and all that. But the mindset was focusing not on the individual player, but on the team, okay? One man said, true progress in any field is a relay race and not a single event. Focus is different. Focus is different. The fourth thing I wanted to say about being collaborative is results. Results. You begin to create victories through multiplication. You create victories through multiplication. Amen? One person is too small of a number to produce greatness. In the day of the one-man show, we've been talking about this. We were just talking about it, Pastor David and myself in the back. The day of the one-man show is over. It's over. I can't stand it. That's why I'm not a Laker fan, because I see what they're doing. Well, I use what I can, you know, to wake you up. I'm just being real. The NBA is trying to put LeBron up, and it's, I don't like that. That's why I like football. Anyway, let me go back. One is too small of a number to produce greatness. Nothing can be accomplished in a great way without help. We have to remember that. And we have to learn to collaborate. We have to learn to come together. When you're developing a team of collaborators, it begins to be aggressive, not just agreeable. Not just agreeable. And that's critical to what we're talking about. And it begins to accomplish a vision that mere cooperation would never allow. Mere cooperation will never get you to where you're desiring to be. It has to be an aggressive, working, hands-on, interactive thing. thing that happens, a collaborative effort of everybody pulling their weight, doing their thing. So I want to talk to you today about team ministry. That was just a little opening that I wanted to give you. I want to talk to you today about team ministry. Because the functioning is the glue of team ministry. Functioning. When everybody does their thing, let me just give it to you this way. I'll use the word now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, we'll just go there first. It says, God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. So the first thing in functioning, God is the master of team development. He's always putting teams together all throughout the Bible. If you look, Adam and Eve, Moses and Joshua, David and Jonathan, all the way through, you just see team after team, Elijah and Elisha. It's always teams. Sometimes it's two people in a team. Sometimes it's a collaborative team, okay? David's mighty men, the 30, the powerful mighty men that he had. God is always putting teams together. The guys that were following Moses when he would go into the tabernacle, Eldad, Medad, Joshua, all these people are teams. And Caleb and Joshua, they're all these wonderful groupings of people. Ruth and Naomi, what a wonderful team that was. Boaz produced a tremendous thing. Those three people produced a lot of wonderful things out of that unity and out of that team and that framework. And so the glue of functioning is team ministry. It's the glue. It's what makes everything work. He says, first apostles. And not only in that, God has an order and a structure, an alignment, a development, a posture in which he speaks from. He says, this is how this is going to be. One, two, three. So God does everything in exact and perfect order. Number two, okay, God has anointed people for team ministry. He's anointed people for team ministry. He's anointed you for team ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, good. He says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation, let all things be done for building up. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Verse 40, but all things should be done decently and in order. And so when you see that God has anointed things and people for teams, okay, he sets things perfectly. So when he put together Moses' tabernacle, he had Moses as the visionary. He had Aaron as the high priest. He had the Levites. He had those that would do everything, the caretakers of the temple. He had everybody in alignment, in a perfect order, but they worked as a team to keep that tabernacle going. Some were skinning animals. Others were washing their hands in blood. Others were baking the showbread every day. Somebody else was over here lighting the golden lampstand, putting oil back in it. Others were making sure that the incense was continually on the fire. Somebody was always doing something because God set the whole thing up as a masterful team to work. Amen? In Solomon's temple, the same thing. It's just 10 times bigger. The same procedures took place in Solomon's temple. You would see the same things. It was the inner court, the outer court, the Holy of Holies. And each segment had each particular function in particular areas that they all had different things to do. But as they worked together, they actually painted the Old Testament picture and prototype of Jesus himself. Amen? And so this is very important. You have another area where God has anointed Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Peter, James, John. It's always over and over the process of teams, concepts, groupings. David and the priest with the ark, going to get the ark back from Abimelech's house. All of this is going on. All of this is going on constantly. And so God is putting pieces together in a wonderful way, just like in this region. As you come to your region now, where you are, and where you, I preached up in Vacaville back in August, and San Francisco like 2 weeks ago, and I'm just looking at your whole region because I've been to several churches in the region. I can actually see God actually bringing a powerful concept to this region that's going to actually shake this entire region very soon. Because I can see the collaboration. I can see it all the way from Vacaville with Dave's church, Dave Patterson over there. I can see it with them. And the relationships, you can start to see people crossing the lines. Where back in the old days, people wouldn't really do that much. I could walk out here, right? Okay, I just wanted y'all to see my cheap shoes. But anyway, I can see the connectedness. I can see Dave talking to John in San Francisco, and John talking to Shiloh and Javier talking to David. And it's something happening where God's putting together apostolic leaders and teams together, which will get the job done in the region. Give God some praise real quick. Amen. This is what it's about. This is what it's for. The third thing in team ministry, you have to know the strength of others. Okay? You have to know the strength of others, the strength of others. You know, Jesus sent Peter to minister to the Jews primarily. He preached to the Jews, but he also went to Cornelius' house eventually and opened up the gate to the Gentiles. But Peter primarily was with the Jews most of the time. But he sends Paul to the Gentiles, to the intellectuals. Why? Because Jesus knew the strength of others. When you're dealing with teams, you have to know the strength of others. Can I talk warrior language with you real quick? I'll keep you awake. I love watching them play because they actually have mastered this, that Clay is different than Steph. Clay could play a little defense, but don't leave him by himself open. Steph's the shooter. KD is just ridiculous. And they understand how to, and Draymond's the enforcer. They have mastered each other's strength. Draymond says, if I get 2 points and we win, I'm happy. That's not all NBA players that say that, okay? I love to watch them play because they've mastered each other's strengths. In the body of Christ, once you begin to know who you are individually, you begin to actually further know who you are corporately or collectively. And that's the key. Primarily what I do in my little journey and my little gift that God has given me, I go around and I prophesy over people. And that's fine with me. Whatever lot and slot he calls me to do, I'm happy with that. Other people might sing really well. Other people can administrate. Other people can oversee a church plan. Other people can do different things. But once you know as an individual leader who you are and what your strength is, it's a lot better. It's a lot easier. And this is what makes it happen. Some people can work miracles. I often ask God, how come, I was looking at the other day at Randy Clark, some stuff that Randy Clark had, and he's talking about miracles and healing. And I said, that man is just so simplistic in his teaching, you know. Then you can take different styles of preaching. And there's so much craziness in the body of Christ. You can take a Randy Clark that sits there and just talks like he's the guy, I forget his name, he used to have the crazy talk show. He looks a lot like him. The crazy talk show in Chicago. I forget his name now. Not Maury Povich. Springer. There you go. You're good, man. But he looks a little bit like him. And I said, he's so basic. Because, see, where you come from in your mind, you have thoughts in your mind about what something should be. So culture plays a critical role in how you view things in society and in life and in the kingdom. And so when I'm looking at him, he's just talking about, well, I healed 10 people and 3 people that were blind got healed. And he's saying it like it's nothing. Now, if that would have been me, I'm trying to open some blind eyes. In the name of Jesus, open up now! You know, all depends what culture you come from. That's not my main gift. You understand what I'm saying? You see, some people cast out a devil and say, leave. You see those Jesus movies? And Jesus is cool in those movies, man. Jesus of Nazareth, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. Jesus says, leave him. And, you know, the demon just, yikes, you know, he's out. I remember trying to cast devils out of people. Yo, devil, you come out. You a liar. And the devil speak back to you. You a liar. I said, no, you a liar. Come on, devil. You know you're a liar. You have to leave. I'm sweating and down there all night. Hold him down, you know. True story. You probably remember that stuff. Some demon-possessed people are strong, man. I'm telling you. I don't have time to tell you the stories. But you have to know the strength of others. That's the whole key. You have to know the strength of others when you are speaking with them, amen, and when you're working with teams. Someone else may not have the level of faith that you have, but they may have an administrative skill. Because there's a great difference between administration and being strategic. Strategic strategy has an element of timing and sensitivity to it. Administration has an element of function to it. So you have all these wonderful combinations of gifts in the mix of your teams, and sitting back, sharing together, getting to know who's what and how it works is the whole key. One of my elders in our church has been with me for forever. We met in college, and freshman year in college, and he's a CPA and a friend forever since the 70s. And he says to me all the time, he said, if it's not working, he said, if you tell people to do stuff, it works like that. He said, you got to show us, you know, how to do this. I said, it's just the grace of God. I said, it's just the grace on me. I said, but you can add those numbers up. Well, I can't put two and two together. You can make it make sense. See, it's a big difference. And that's the whole thing. Let me just give this to you real quick. You have to know who you are. Hate to sound like the Lion King, who you are. But it's true. Simba, remember who you are. But that's the whole thing. Understanding individual identity will help you in functioning better in the corporate and the collaborative team functioning. It's critical. And that principle can go from just a small group. It can go from in a church. It can go inside of a ministry in a church. It can go from a church. It can go from a region. It can go into a network, knowing who you are and what you bring to the table. God has given everybody something. He's the blesser. He's the one who gives everybody something. It took me years to figure out, where was my slot? Where was this? You know, you can think about people that speak, as I said, a Randy Clark that just talks and people get healed, or a T.D. Jakes that can rile people up and just, it's a big difference. But that's their gifting. That's their gifting. And so that's very important to know. The next thing, we have to know the strength, and we have to know our strength, and if we know that, then people are happy. Okay? We have to know our strength. That means you're solid inside. I don't mind if I walk into a building, they say, Eric's here, we have some people that we need to minister to. They may not ask everybody else. I've been asked a lot of times to walk right by people in, let's say, so-called, what they used to call big meetings, okay? Big meetings where, you know, people are whatever, significant. And they say, who's this guy? And I'll just walk up there and just say, this is what the Lord's saying. And that's it. That's the end of it. And I go sit back down. And I have fun with that. I go outside and drink a Pepsi. I want to start division in here today, but let me go on. Pepsi's East Coast, baby. Yeah. Anyway, when you know your strength, say it with me, when I know my strength, then other people are happy. This is so important because once, if a group of people know individually who they are, what they bring to the table, then it's a lot of fun. You'll do this, you'll do that, you'll do this, I'll take care of this, and let's go. Let's make it happen. That's when this is fun. In Judges chapter 9, verse 8, let's just read that real quick. Judges chapter 9, verse 8, you know the scripture. The trees once went out to anoint a king over them, but they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, shall I leave my abundance, which by gods, in my Roman language, by gods and men are honored, and go hold sway over these trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit to go hold sway over the trees? Next slide. And the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said, shall I leave my wine that cheers God and men to go sway over the trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in good faith you're anointing me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Well, the whole thing with that is, I wanted to just look at, everybody, each one of these trees knew their strength. And they knew their slot, and they knew their purpose, and they knew where they should be. I remember years ago, well, many years ago, I was in a church and way back. I used to lead worship years ago, and they were picking a new choir director. Now, I'm not a choir person, really. Truth be told, I don't like choirs. But anyway, it's just this thing with them. God bless choirs and that culture and all that. But, and so I really didn't care about the assignment, truthfully, but I would take it. You know, they wanted, it was a promotion from just singing in a team. And this other guy was so stressed out. He came to my house at night. He said, "Did you hear? You know, they picked you. The pastors picked you to be the next choir director." I said, "Oh, wow." I said, "That's nice." It's a true story. And he says to me, he says, "Man, this is a grown man. This is how bad it is. Here's a grown man, an ex-Marine, cut, bulked, chiseled, 8-pack, black, angry, and mad." And I thought he was going to chump me. He said, "They picked you." And he's towering over me. I said, "Okay, they picked me." I said, "Man." He said, "Why didn't they pick me?" He said, "I'm the one that likes to sing." He said, "I know I could whip that choir into shape. I could do this. I could do that. And I could do this." I didn't want to tell the man, "You can't hear notes properly. You sing off key all the time. You're really terrible. You're too wild." I just put my head down. I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, maybe they'll pick you." So what I did, I went back and told the guys. I said, I don't think you should have me do this. I said, "He wants it really, really bad." I said, "Let him do it." And they let him do it. I knew my strength. My strength actually was just singing with a small team of two or three people, and then we'd flow in a prophetic, the song of the Lord would come. That was my strength. So what I'm saying is, once I knew where my strength was, when I would release that atmosphere and step into that prophetic atmosphere, it would cover the whole congregation. Then everybody would get blessed. Okay? And this is why I say that once you know who you are, people are happy. You also have next. You have to respect the place of others. You have to respect the place of others. Respect the place of others. I'm just going to rattle these off. Adonijah tried to usurp the place of Solomon when David was picking a king. He tried to take over. He said, "Blow the trumpet." Adonijah blowing the trumpet over in the other land. He says, "I'm going to be king." James and John said to Jesus, "Let us sit by your right hand." They wanted to position themselves for a particular area. You got to respect the place of others. You see, God has set members in the church, every one of them, specifically and particularly to be in teams. He has set you in your churches. I understand you come from different places, but he's put you in a particular city. He's put you in a particular neighborhood, town, school system, district, geographical location, a function in that city, in that local church, everything. He's done it with the divine understanding that he has to complete the overall mosaic of what his purpose and plan is in the earth. That's why you're where you are. I don't like cold weather. I really don't. When snow gets to be 3 or 4 feet, I go outside and say, "Man, Lord, you know." And people say, "I can't make it," and cars are coughing down the highway. And you see the tendons drop because, you know, it's so cold, it's 1 degree. I'm like, "Man, Lord, why don't you put me like in San Diego somewhere?" Jesus. I said, "You know me. I mean, I'm your boy." Yeah, you know, pick up the shovel. The last thing is simply this. When team ministry is functioning properly, there's results. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's just look at that real quick. I think 2:19. "So then you are no longer aliens and strangers." I can't see that far. Okay. But your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. It says, in whom the whole structure being joined together, and I like the old King James says, fitly framed together. You are fitly framed together. It says, then it will grow into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you're also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Amen? This is what's happening. The last scripture I'll give you is Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11, starting in verse 11. He gave some apostles, we read this earlier, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the body, until we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's go on. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with it, which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is what we're dealing with. And you see this local church structure in finality. 1 Kings 10, the Bible says that when Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Okay, we'll go to verse 2. That's interesting. The bottom line is this. When she saw the team functioning, he says she saw his cupbearers, the attendants of his ministers. She saw everybody in place. She said that people were happy. Happiness is very important in teamwork. That's the attitude piece. It says she was taken back because she saw something really working very well. The concept of this is so prophetic, and I got 3 minutes to go, but the concept of this is so prophetic. And I'll say this to you, Pastor David, that this book that you have is such a prophetic book for the time in which we live in, because a nation is crying out for this and what we're hearing today, and that our country doesn't have it. There's no teamwork. There's no collaboration. Okay, there's false cooperation, but not collaboration. Because attitudes and perceptions and focus are broken on selfishness and bent on selfishness. And so when the body of Christ, the church, who is the prophetic voice in the nation and in the earth, the voice of the Lord in the earth that he speaks through, begins to declare that team ministry and teamwork, collaboration and cooperation, all should be coming back to the forefront, it will be a foundation stone and a shaking in this nation because of it. Thank you for your time.
Let's say thank you to Pastor Eric. That was awesome. Awesome, awesome. Amen. Everybody say collaboration. Teamwork. Together. Come on. I got some things to say, but Pastor Eric, I got to collaborate real quick. So we're together on the Warriors. Niners? Raiders? Come on. Giants? We have a special meetup room for you. Way in the back, way in the back. I need some brothers to help me out here. Niners. Okay, we'll work it. Eagles fan, we forgive him. Hey, listen, we're going to be starting our meetup groups here in about 5 minutes, and it's your opportunity to collaborate and to get together, make some new friends, and discuss with someone. We had some deep stuff shared this morning, and we're going to talk about that for about 45 minutes. In our meetup groups here, and then we're going to go have lunch at 12:30 across the way in our warehouse. You go down the hallway here, around the corner. We're going to do that at 12:30. We're going to come back in here at 1:45, so you got plenty of time to continue to collaborate with everybody. And so most of you have signed up. You know where you're going. You can follow the hot sheet, but just to do a quick rundown, if you're new here, we have all the outreach meeting in the cafe. The children's ministry is meeting across the way in the kids' city. We have all the service teams meeting upstairs right across the hallway here. We've got the prayer and healing. Follow the hallway down around the corner. All the prayer and healing meetups are down the hallway here. If you're in one of the life group, the small group meetups, you're down the hallway to my left, your right, in our multi-purpose room. And then we have the youth and also the worship teams way down there. And if I could have all the people stand up, if you turn around, we have people that have the signs, some of the individual team members, as to where you're going to meet. All you need to do is follow them if you don't know where the meeting is. And if you're not signed up, you don't know where to go, I will be in the hallway right outside here. I will help direct you to a meetup that you can really get together with other people. So on the count of three, we're going to all stand up, and we're going to take a two-minute break and head on down to our meetups. Ready? One, two, three, go. God bless. See you at 1:45 back right here in this room.